All right. Are we ready?
Yes.
Continue. I was thinking of this story, and it's a story of this king. And I heard this story on one of my travels. And you guys have all heard the saying before that a dog is man's best friend, right? Well, it's really true. I just saw this video the other day of these guys who become these mushy men, these big burly guys when they get to see their dog. Their dog waits for them when they run home. And it's true, dog can truly be man's best friend. And I was thinking of the story that I heard about this king who had this dog. And the king really loved this dog. He loved it. It went everywhere with him. When he woke up in the morning, it was there right beside his bed. When he went out, it had to go with him. Everywhere he went, this dog went with him. And the king loved this dog. And the queen knew it. They just knew, well, wherever they go, wherever the king goes, the dog's going to go with them. He was truly the king's best friend. And one day, the king and queen had a child. They had a son. And of course, the king and queen loved and absolutely adored their son. And the queen wondered, and even the king, is the dog going to get jealous of our newborn child? Because that dog loved the king and queen. He was always around them. And of course, the dog couldn't always be where the baby was. So one day, the king went out hunting. And with a bow and arrow. Of course, back then, that's all they had. And they went hunting with bow and arrow. And the queen went up into the nursery room that they had for the baby. And the baby was in the crib. And the crib was tipped over. And there was blood all over the blankets and blood everywhere. And so the queen called for the king and said, tell the king he needs to come back now. So word went out really quick. The messenger got on his horse and went out. They found the king where he was hunting because they would always know where they're hunting. And the king came back immediately. And he looked into the nursery. And he saw blood. The baby was rolled up in a blanket, and there was blood on the blanket, blood on the crib, blood on the floor. The crib was tipped over. And the king said, I knew it. I knew. I just knew that dog was going to get jealous one day. I knew it. You know, he's with me all the time, and now we have this beautiful, beautiful baby child of ours, this beautiful son of ours. And I knew it was going to get jealous one day. And the king and queen are just beside themselves. So right then and there, the king took the dog out and brought him where they practice the shooting of the bow and arrow. And just as he's about to let go of the bow, he releases and the queen came out, stop, 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 stop. But it was too late. The arrow flew and killed the dog. And she said, King, we needed to look closer. They go up into the room. And in behind the crib, a wolf had gotten in through the window. And the dog saw the wolf get in, and the dog ended up killing the wolf, actually. And so blood was everywhere. The baby was actually still asleep through all of this. But he saw the blood on the dog's mouth. He saw the blood on the blanket. He saw the blood on the floor. He saw the blood on the crib. And he made a judgment call. But made the judgment call too quick. For the dog was actually protecting the family, not out of jealousy. I want to talk a little bit about judgment this morning. Judging and a little bit of forgiveness. It might have to be a two-part series. But it's important to talk about, because I think sometimes we're so quick to judge, aren't we? We're so quick to judge. Actually, I find we're too quick to judge. We just judge so quickly. And I love this story. It's actually a true story. You'll hear about the story forever in England. There's a castle named after this dog. The king named the castle after the dog, for the king had great sorrow, and it's called Bethgallen. And it's a true story. And the whole point of the story is don't be too hasty to judge. Don't be so quick to judge. Because when we judge, I don't know about you, I find that we always go wrong. We always go wrong when we judge others. Do you remember the story of Haman in the book of Esther? Do you remember that story? I was thinking of that as well as I was thinking about judgment. Haman did not like Mordecai. didn't like him at all. And Haman made all kinds of judgments against Mordecai. And of course, it's in the book of Esther. And we kind of read in chapter 7 of Esther that Haman built these gallows to kill Mordecai by. Right? And he made judgments against Mordecai and wanted him killed. And so Haman built these gallows to hang Mordecai by. And who ended up actually hanging on those gallows? Haman did. The king ordered Haman to be murdered on the very gallows that he had built for Mordecai. Now, do you think Haman would have made the gallows if he knew he'd hang by them? No. No, he would not have. He would not have. But he judged Mordecai, and he ended up hanging by the gallows, the very gallows that he built, that he had made. How about King David and Nathan the prophet? Do you remember the story in 2 Samuel chapter 12? Actually, let me read that. I'll read that story. I'll read it from you. It's not up there. I'll just read it. You guys can sit back and listen. Just like in kindergarten story time. Sit back, relax, and let me read to you. And I'll start in chapter 12 here. Just at verse 1. The Lord sent Nathan to David. Nathan was a prophet. Okay, Nathan was a prophet of the Lord. When the Lord sent Nathan to David, and when he came to David, he said, there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb. Ewe lamb? Ewe lamb. E-W-E, I don't know, ewe lamb. Okay, so but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep. He refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him, this traveler. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die! Exclamation, exclamation, exclamation mark. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are this man. You are this very man that I just told the story about. And now this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if all of this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? Well, what did David do? Well, David got a little bored, and he stopped going to war. And others went out to war. And one day, David woke up one morning and looked out his window, and he saw a woman through his window, and she was bathing. Bathsheba was her name. Pun probably not intended. And he looks over there, and he says, whoa, man, what a woman. And David says, well, I wonder if she'll be out there the next day. And it got David's attention, didn't it? Right? But he kept giving it attention. Now it became a focus. I wonder if she's going to be there again. I like watching her bathe. And then he kept giving it focus. Now it became his obsession. Now he had to have it. Right? It was so small over here. But he kept giving it attention. Then it became his focus. See, only here, it was only taking up 25% of his life. But he kept giving it attention, so it became a focus. Now it's taking up half of his life, 50% of his life. And he kept giving it focus, and then it became his obsession. And when it becomes your obsession, you're going to do whatever you have to do to bring justice or whatever you want and desire. So what did David do? He found out who the husband of Bathsheba was. His name was Uriah. And he sent Uriah to the front lines of the army. And are you safer at the front of the line or the back of the line? Well, the back of the line. And what happened to Uriah? He got killed. Uriah got killed. And so Nathan comes and tells the story. And David makes a judgment, doesn't he? Well, David, you were guilty of the very same thing. We judge so quickly. I can see it in others, but it's so hard to see in myself somehow, right? I like to look at you to distract me from looking at me. So I'll look at you so I don't have to look at me. Remember we talked about it? The heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. If you live under the law, your image is very important. Because what you do is hopefully more than what others do. So that I'm more righteous than you. But doesn't it say there is no one righteous, not even one? Is it your work that makes you righteous or Christ's work that made you righteous? Thanks, Tristan. All right. So we can see in others what I don't want to see in me, right? I like me. I love me. But I don't like me in you. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. Do you remember, I remember growing up, my parents used to watch, what was his name? Jimmy Swaggart. Do you remember? He was a TV preacher. He was a, I don't know if he was a televangelist or just like a, online. There was no online back then. TV preacher, right? And I remember watching him, and I was always entertained because Jimmy would always have, he'd be preaching, and he'd have the word of God, and he'd get so red in the face. Like his whole face, you could see actually a vein start popping out on his forehead. And he was so zealous, and he's preaching. And Jimmy, he preached actually quite often on he couldn't believe how anyone in ministry could fall into sexual immorality. And he even preached on how to deal with a fallen pastor. He says, nobody in ministry should ever fall to sexual immorality. Even believers who are full of Christ should never fall to sexual immorality. What happened to Jimmy? He fell to the very thing that he made a judgment on. He was found with a prostitute and absolutely killed his ministry. Right? Jim Baker. Do you guys remember him? Tammy Faye, was it? Was that her name? Remember? I always felt like her hair could never fit through the door. You know? It was so big back then. The 80s. Right? Same thing. They fell to even the very things that they spoke of. We are so quick to judge. We are too quick to judge, and what we really end up judging is what we see of ourselves in others. I think we have Romans up there, but I'll read it for you from my Bible. Romans 2, I just want to read for you verses 1 to probably about 11. Listen to the words that is spoken here in Romans. You therefore, okay, you with me? You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge another, you are actually condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the very same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, You're storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will repay everyone according to what they have done. To those who by persistence in doing good see glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. You have no excuse who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass the judgment do the very same things. Well, that'll burn a hole in it, hey? How about that? Anybody feel like judging anybody else now? When we judge, we'll always go wrong. We will always go wrong when we judge. You know, I like me, but I just don't like seeing me and others in you. But I'll talk about you so distract everybody from talking about me. I want you to see, but I don't want you to see. Come close, but not too close. Because I don't want you to see. So I will judge you to bring the attention to you in hopes that you don't see me. That's what's really going on, amen? That's what's really happening. What's your mirror? Think of the person who absolutely rubs you the wrong way the most. The person you just despise. The person you can't stand. Think about that person. Well, there's your mirror. Oh, gosh. Thanks, Tristan. No, if you don't, Steph, there's probably more than one. You're right. Oh, man. That was good. Just think about that person, though. Like the person, they irritate me. They get under my skin. I don't even want to look at them. I can't even stand the way they chew their food. Even the way they chew food annoys me. I just can't stand to see. I can't stand to be around them. There's our mirror. That is your mirror. You want to find out how well you're really doing in life? You really want to find out? Then just find the person who irritates you the most. And there you'll find how well you're doing. Do you have compassion? Can you offer kindness to them and love? Forgiveness? As the Lord God has forgiven you. It's like that kid who goes to his mom, and I'm sure some of you mothers and fathers have experienced this, but it's like the kid who goes to his mom with a really big complaint. Mommy, mommy, Ryan wants the biggest candy. Well, mom says, well, what's the problem, Ryan? Just give it to him. No, but I want it. Right? I want the biggest candy. We don't want to judge others, because when you're throwing dirt, you're just losing ground. Right? When you're throwing dirt, you're just losing ground. That's why if you're married, the two shall become one. And if you're throwing dirt on your spouse, who are you also throwing dirt on? Yourself. And it never feels good to throw dirt on your... You see anybody just pick up dirt? Oh, yeah. Right? Eat it. Maybe as kids. Or unless somebody had a mental breakdown. I'm so mad I could poop my pants right here. I've heard it. We don't want to judge others, because you will. If you're throwing dirt, you're just going to lose ground. It is not worth it. I hope everybody can hear my words this morning, hear God's word this morning. Like I think we need to take it seriously. It's so easy, isn't it, to complain about another? And God says, why are you complaining? Why are you complaining? And we judge another, too, because we feel like they're elevated above us, right? And so I want to bring them down a notch or two. No. But remember we talked about the vine and the branches? Was there a branch above another on the vine? Was there a branch below another? No, they're all equal. There is neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, master nor slave. We're all one the same in Christ Jesus. We're all equals. If somebody's elevating themselves above you, let them go ahead. What does it matter to you? You know who you are, don't you, church? Right? So it shouldn't move us. If you're offended, then you needed to be. Because we only get offended if I'm trying to get something out of you, which you already have in Christ. I wish that would be my church slogan. If we had a sign out there and I put the letters, a place where you cannot offend. But the problem is I can't put those letters up there. Because we get so offended. And we get offended because we don't know who we are. So I'll judge you to bring you down. But there's nothing to bring down. We're all equal. We're all one the same in Christ Jesus. I will not judge another. It is not worth it. It is just not worth it. You know what's interesting? As you read through the Bible, let's look at Noah, right? God worked through Noah knowing he would get drunk and make some foolish decisions. Jacob, God worked through Jacob knowing he would lie. God worked through Moses knowing he would murder. God worked through Rahab knowing she was a prostitute. God worked through David. Well, we just went over what he did. God worked through Jonah knowing that he would run away. Tried to run away anyway from the Lord. God worked through Paul knowing that he would persecute and kill Christians. The Bible's full of stories like that. That God works through weak people. And do you know that today God still chooses to work through the weak people, flawed people? Matthew 11, come unto me all who are strong, got life all figured out and together, and I'll give you rest. No, bad theology. Come unto me all who are weak, weary, heavy laden, heavy burdened, then I'll give you rest. You see, God doesn't call the strong their own strength. He calls the weak, those who know outside of him, I can do nothing. He calls the weak. God works through the weak today. He's waiting till you've come to that place of humility where you finally say, Lord, I can't. And when you come to that point, God will say, I never said you could. I said I can and always said I would live my life in through you. I have been crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. Therefore, I no longer live, but Christ now lives in through me. And this life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave his life as a ransom for me. Amen. Amen. We have to come to this point of weakness. If you don't, you will judge, and you will stand in judgment, and that is a dangerous place to sit. That is a dangerous place to stand. Remember Paul? Prayed thrice times, he said. He pleaded with the Lord. He pleaded with God. God, would you please take this thorn out of my flesh? And remember what God said to him? Yeah, Paul, have you still not yet learned? My grace is sufficient for you. even for your weaknesses. For where you are weak, then I will be your strength. But what was the prerequisite to being to him being our strength? I have to own my weakness. I have to look inside and see me first before I look at another. See, I own this pen. Not I own sugar. I own this pen. Right? And because I own it, I can disown it. But you don't own this pen. I do. And because you don't own it, you can't disown it. You can only disown what you'll own. You can't leave where you're at until you admit where you're at. If I believe I'm in Africa right now, how can I ever leave Canada? Because I believe I'm in Africa. I cannot leave where I'm at until I admit where I'm at. And God's waiting. Waiting till you give up on your strength, your righteousness, your pride, your kingdom, till you take on his strength, his righteousness, his image, and his kingdom. The point of verse is to lose everything that we think is ours and take on his, because everything's his. Amen? It's the point of walking. We need to lose. We need to lose. Remember the verse that said God opposes the proud. That's a strong word, isn't it? Like, I oppose you. God opposes the proud, but grace is with the humble, the meek. His grace is always with the humble. I don't want to judge another. I don't want God to oppose me. I want to walk in humility. Let me ask you this question. If you're doing better today, if you're doing better than another, why and how are you doing better? Is it you or is it God? Is it all your great work, or is it because it's just God's grace and where he has you today? We are where we are and what we are because of the grace of God. We have different seasons, right? Isn't that right? Remember, everything preaches and teaches him. There's four seasons. Unless you live in Lower Mainland, then there's only two. Rain and then sunshine. But it's still two different seasons, right? We're going to have winter seasons. But you need to have winter so you can have spring. And you need to have spring so you can have summer. And you need to have summer so you can have autumn, right? There's different seasons. But in that season, we are where we are, not because of us and our great righteousness, but because of Christ and his righteousness he freely gave to us. Who's holding you up? You and your good work, or God and his great work on the cross? What's holding you up? I want you to think about this. Think about that person who maybe you've been a little judgmental against, okay? You don't have to say it out loud. Just keep it to yourself. Confession's good for the soul, they say. All right? Think of that person right now. And think of the past events of their life. Think of the history of their life. Do you even know their messages? Do you know their hurts? Do you know the shoes they've had to walk in? Do you know the things that they've had to go through? And do you really believe you'd do better than them if you walked in those shoes? Perhaps they're doing really well for the shoes they've had to walk in. And maybe you wouldn't fare as well as they're doing with the shoes they've had to walk in. That's why I don't want to judge another, because I've never walked a mile, an inch in their shoes. I've never been them. I've never had the hurts that they had. I never had the messages. Maybe they had horrible parents. Maybe they had parents who had expectations of them that were so high that they just never could live up to it, so they decided to live here because it was just easier. They got tired of feeling rejected all the time. I mean, we don't know. We don't know what messages they heard in their life. So why would we want to stand in judgment of that person? I've never walked in their shoes. I've never ran a mile. I don't know their hurts. I don't know their trials and the things that they had to go through. Honestly, if you knew the deep secret hurts of any given person, would you really want to add to it? Right? Would we really want to add to it if we knew the deep, dark, secret hurts and pain of another? Do you want to, pal? I remember this story in youth ministry where this one Christian kid, he came to school and they were all gathered in the large foyer and they were in a group and this one kid is making jokes and being funny, you know, and getting everybody to laugh. And then he started to make fun of this Christian kid and it really annoyed the Christian kid. So then he just absolutely lambasted the kid. And everybody's laughing at him and his Christian friend is, come here. I said, what? I said, what are you doing, man? He just came back from lunch and find out that his dad committed suicide. And he was here just trying to forget about it. And oh, the kid's heart just sunk into the floor. Right? If we knew the deep, dark, secret hurts of any given person, do you really want to add to it? I don't know why people did what they did. But I'm not going to judge them. Because maybe if I was in their shoes, maybe if I had the same messages that they received, maybe I wouldn't do as well as they did. Maybe they'd done really well for the shoes they walked in. Amen? We must stop judging others. And we have to start here in the church. If we're not doing it, what hope do we have? A new command, Jesus said, I give you. I'm giving you a new one. Love each other as I have loved you. So you must love one another, no matter what they did or have done or will do. You must love one another. Let me just wrap up with a couple of things. You know, it's okay to identify and accept that people have hurt us. It's okay to identify that these people have hurt you in your life. Amen. Right? Okay, we've identified that. These people have hurt me, and maybe they continue to hurt you. And we can accept that people have hurt us and let us down, but we have to appeal to compassion after that. We must appeal to compassion because we never walked in their shoes. Right? Remember Jesus? All the hurt that the Pharisees and the religious leaders and the teachers of law caused him? And remember he said, oh, how I long to gather you as a hen gathers her chick under her wing. That's compassion. Because he just didn't look at the outside, he looked at the whole. Right? He looked at the whole. That's why I believe there's actually no great men or women of God. There's only weak men and women who've believed in a great God. Right? It's him who's great, it's not us. Anybody who knows me will quickly discover Chad is not a great man. Just spend about 1 minute with my wife. She'll let you know. Here's what it's like to live with this man. He's not as spiritual as you think. I'm banking on the grace of God. I'm grateful for his mercy and his grace in my life. I have not done it perfectly. I have not behaved well. I am a weak man who believes in a great God. And I love that God works through weak people. That's good news for me. We need to remember we're here to redeem, not condemn, right? Our message is a redeeming message, not a condemning message. We are here to redeem, not to condemn. I've had some really nasty messages given to me over the years as a pastor. There's many people angry at God. There's people who don't agree with maybe what I said or how I've lived. I've made mistakes, and I've got some nasty emails. And I started a practice with my wife because she's much more compassionate. And so I'll write back, and I'll ask her, I'll write out the letter or the email and say, okay, now as you read this, I want you to ask yourself, will this redeem this person or will it condemn them? Because I want to be redeeming, even though they've hurt me. I want to be redeeming. And then she'll find the one little thing that I thought I could get away with. So you should probably, come on, give me that. Chad, they will not hear anything else you read in there. They'll only see that one statement that you made. It'll condemn them. Right? Don't we want to be redeeming in our dealings with others? I don't want to be condemning. I want to be redeeming. Ask yourself this question. Are you redemptive enough in your dealings with others? Are you redemptive enough as you deal with other people? Honestly, over my years and having the privilege of ministering in the places God has blessed me to work and the people I've got to work with, I think people don't end well because I think they forget who's holding them. I think we don't end well because I think we forget who's holding them. It's God and it's just His grace in that season of my life, right? But then I've gone through other seasons where I'm not doing so well. Well, what now? I'm still, God's holding me then, right? He's still holding me in the good and the bad. It's Him who's holding us. What I try to do, so here's what I want to end on. I had to end on this before we end today. What I try to do when another's making judgments and accusations about me is I want to compare my life to Jesus. And as I do that, I can just nod my head and agree with the person. Yep. Yeah, compared to Him, yeah. Yeah, I know, that was fleshy. I remember one of my mentors, he was telling me he was late one day. He had counseling appointments, and he was really, really late. And he didn't mean to be late, but he was late. And I don't know if anybody have drove on those interstate highways in the U.S. They got like 8 lanes, and then there's like a 9th turning lane. Well, he realized he was in the wrong lane, and he had to get over all the way to the turning lane. So he's like, I'm late already, and boom, he just starts cutting people off. And he cuts everybody off, and he gets right up, and what color does the light turn? Red, right? It's red. So, and in behind him is this huge jacked up truck. I mean, it's up this, it should only be this high, but it's way up high. Big, huge tires on it, like Bigfoot, you know, and big bush guard on the front of it. And out, this guy gets out of his vehicle. You can see in his mirror. He's like, oh no. Oh, great. Uh-oh. And this big, burly guy, tattooed all up, right? This big, bald head, huge beard, he said. And he starts walking towards him. He's like, oh, no. What is going to happen now? So before the guy could even get there, he had a revelation from the Lord. So he rolled down his window, and the guy's coming over, and he has his fist cocked. And Mike puts his head out the window. He says, could you believe what I just did? I can't believe what I just, what an idiot I was. I could have killed you. I could have killed about 7 people back there. What a stupid thing to do. I can't believe I just cut everybody off and did this. That was so dumb. And the guy's sitting there and he's like, yeah. Be careful next time. He had nothing to say because Mike admitted to his stupidity. He admitted to his weakness in that moment. Why do we have to be right all the time? What does being right give to you that you don't already have in Christ? Is not Him who makes us right? The only thing that having to be right all the time gives you is the only thing I've discovered is pride. That's all that being right gives to you is pride. We make mistakes, amen? Right, we all do. We don't behave. We're perfect in Christ fundamentally, yes, but we don't behave perfectly, do we, all the time? No, we don't. So we need to own. I have people coming into my office and they're like, my poop don't smell. My spouse's does, though. But my poop don't. I'm like, no, poop stinks. You have to own it. We have to be able to own our weaknesses. Standing in the place of judgment will never, never lead you into an absolutely thriving, fulfilled, satisfied life. Walking in weakness and walking in forgiveness. And that's what I want to talk about next week. We'll get more on the forgiveness side, right? We have to walk in forgiveness of each other. We have to, right? Because we're all going to make mistakes. Amen? Can we all agree on that, right? So let's not pass judgment. You've never walked in their shoes. You've never walked a mile in their shoes. You can't. Appeal to compassion. Yes, identify the hurt and accept that they've hurt you. Amen. People hurt us. But then we have to quickly appeal to compassion. Look at their life. And maybe you don't know their life. Maybe you don't know what they've been through. We don't want to be like that Christian high school kid. Right? He felt horrible. We don't want to pass judgment too quickly. Let's pray. God, thank You for Your word that really does set us free, God. Lord, I pray that we're known as the church who so quickly forgives. That yes, we identify where problems are, we identify the hurt, but we also want to quickly offer forgiveness. Even though they are forgiven by you, but it's good for us. I pray we're a church that doesn't pass judgment on another because we've never walked in their shoes. And Lord, you say, you who pass judgment are guilty of the very same things. I don't want to stand in the place of judgment. We want to be a church who deals redemptively. We're redeeming. So God, I pray that you continue to work that in all of our hearts. Only you can do that, Lord. You convert the heart. You are on the inside, Lord, working your way out. So Lord, allow us to work through that. Allow us to be people of weakness and humility who believe in a great God who works through us. And we ask this, Jesus. We can ask this in your name. Ask and you will receive. We ask this in your name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. Thank you for listening. Have a great week, and we'll see you guys next Sunday.